Section 4. The ungodly warned. I shall apply the subject only in one use, namely of warning to ungodly men. And in order to this, I desire such to consider, 1. How destitute of any comforting consideration your condition will be, if you perish at last. You will have none to pity you. Look which way you will, before or behind, on the right hand or left, look up to heaven, or look about you in hell, and you will see none to condole your case, or to exercise any pity towards you, in your dreadful condition. You must bear these flames, you must bear that torment and amazement, day and night, forever, and never have the comfort of considering, that there is so much as one that pities your case. There never will one tear be dropped for you. 1. You have now been taught that you will have no pity from the created inhabitants of heaven. If you shall look to them, you will see them all rejoicing at the sight of the glory of God's justice, power, and terrible majesty, manifested in your torment. You will see them in a blissful and glorious state. You will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets, in the kingdom of God. You will see many come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and sit down in that glorious kingdom. And will see them all with one voice, and with united joy, praising God for glorifying Himself in your destruction. You will wail and gnash your teeth under your own torments, and with envy of their happiness. But they will rejoice and sing Isaiah 65:13-14. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. 2. God will exercise no pity towards you. If you might have His pity in any degree, that would be of more worth to you than thousands of worlds. That would make your case to be not without comfort and hope. But God will exercise no pity towards you. He hath often said concerning wicked men, that His eye shall not spare, neither will He have pity, Ezek 5:11-7:4-9-8:18. He will cast upon you, and not spare. You will see nothing in God, and receive nothing from Him, but perfect hatred, and the fierceness of His wrath. Nothing but the mighty falls or outpourings of wrath upon you every moment. And no cries will avail to move God to any pity, or in the least to move Him to lighten His hand, or assuage the fierceness and abate the power of your torments. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, will have no pity on you. Though He had so much love to sinners, as to be willing to lay down His life for them, and offers you the benefits of His blood, while you are in this world, and often calls upon you to accept them, yet then He will have no pity upon you. You never will hear any more instructions from Him. He will utterly refuse to be your instructor. On the contrary, He will be your judge, to pronounce sentence against you. 3. You will find none that will pity you in hell. The devils will not pity you, but will be your tormentors, as roaring lions or hellhounds to tear you in pieces continually. And other wicked men who shall be there will be like devils. They will have no pity on you, but will hate, and curse, and torment you. And you yourselves will be like devils. You will be like devils to yourselves, and will be your own tormentors. 2. Consider with an aggravation what you have heard under this doctrine will be to your misery. Consider how it will be at the day of judgment, when you shall see Christ coming in the clouds of heaven, when you shall begin to wail and cry, as knowing that you are those who are to be condemned. And perhaps you will be ready to fly to some of your godly friends. But you will obtain no help from them. You will see them unconcerned for you, with joyful countenances ascending to meet the Lord, and not the less joyful for the horror in which they see you. And when you shall stand before the tribunal at the left hand, among devils, trembling and astonished, and shall have the dreadful sentence passed upon you, you will at the same time see the blessed company of saints and angels at the right hand rejoicing, and shall hear them shout forth the praises of God, while they hear your sentence pronounced. You will then see those godly people, with whom you shall have been acquainted, and who shall have been your neighbors, and with whom you now often converse, rejoicing at the pronunciation and execution of your sentence. Perhaps there are now some godly people, to whom you are near and dear, who are tenderly concerned for you, are ready to pity you under all calamities, and willing to help you, and particularly are tenderly concerned for your poor soul, and have put up many fervent prayers for you. How will you bear to hear these singing for joy of heart, while you are crying for sorrow of heart, and howling for vexation of spirit, and even singing the more joyful for the glorious justice of God which they behold in your eternal condemnation? You that have godly parents, who in this world have tenderly loved you, who are wont to look upon your welfare as their own, and were wont to be grieved for you when anything calamitous befell you in this world, and especially were greatly concerned for the good of your souls, industriously sought, and earnestly prayed for their salvation. How will you bear to see them in the kingdom of God, crowned with glory? Or how will you bear to see them receiving the blessed sentence, and going up with shouts and songs, to enter with Christ into the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world, while you are amongst a company of devils, and are turned away with the most bitter cries, to enter into everlasting burnings, prepared for the devil and his angels? How will you bear to see your parents, who in this life had so dear an affection for you, now without any love to you, approving the sentence of condemnation, when Christ shall with indignation bid you depart, wretched, cursed creatures, into eternal burnings? How will you bear to see and hear them praising the judge, for his justice exercised in pronouncing this sentence, and hearing it with holy joy in their countenances, and shouting forth the praises and hallelujahs of God and Christ on that account? When they shall see what manifestations of amazement there will be in you, at the heaving of this dreadful sentence, and that every syllable of it pierces you like a thunderbolt, and sinks you into the lowest depths of horror and despair. When they shall behold you with affrighted, amazed countenance, trembling and astonished, and shall hear you groan and gnash your teeth. These things will not move them at all to pity you, but you will see them with a holy joyfulness in their countenances, and with songs in their mouths. When they shall see you turned away and beginning to enter into the great furnace, and shall see how you shrink at it, and hear how you shriek and cry out, yet they will not be at all grieved for you, but at the same time you will hear from them renewed praises and hallelujahs for the true and righteous judgments of God, in so dealing with you. Then you will doubtless remember how those your glorified parents seemed to be concerned for your salvation, while you were here in this world. You will remember how they were wont to counsel and warn you, and how little you regarded their counsels, and how they seemed to be concerned and grieved, that there appeared no more effect of their endeavors for the good of your souls. You will then see them praising God for executing just vengeance on you, for setting so light by their counsels and reproofs. However, here they love you, and were concerned for you, now they will rise up in judgment against you, and will declare how your sins are aggravated by the endeavors which they to no purpose used with you, to bring you to forsake sin and practice virtue, and to seek and serve God. But you were obstinate under all, and would not hearken to them. They will declare how inexcusable you are upon this account. And when the judge shall execute the more terrible wrath upon you on this account, that you have made no better improvement of your parents' instructions, they will joyfully praise God for it. After they shall have seen you lie in hell thousands of years, and your torment shall yet continue without any rest, day or night, they will not begin to pity you then. They will praise God, that his justice appears in the eternity of your misery. You that have godly husbands, or wives, or brethren, or sisters, with whom you have been wont to dwell under the same roof, and to eat at the same table, consider how it will be with you, when you shall come to part with them, when they shall be taken and you left. Luke 17:34, 35, 36. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. However you may wail and lament, when you see them parted from you, they being taken and you left, you will see in them no signs of sorrow, that you are not taken with them. That you ascend not with them to meet the Lord in the air, but are left below to be consumed with the world, which is reserved unto fire, against the day of the perdition of ungodly men. Those wicked men, who shall go to hell from under the labors of pious and faithful ministers, will see those ministers rejoicing and praising God upon the occasion of their destruction. Consider, Ye that have long lived under M.R. Stoddard's ministry, and are yet in a natural condition, how dreadful it will be to you, to see him who was so tenderly concerned for the good of your souls while he was here, and so earnestly sought your salvation, to see him rising up in judgment against you, declaring your inexcusableness, declaring how often he warned you, how plainly he set your danger before you, and told you of the opportunity that you had, how fully he set forth the miserable condition in which you were, and the necessity there was that you should obtain an interest in Christ, how movingly and earnestly he exhorted you to get into a better state, and how regardless you were, how little you minded all that he said to you, how you went on still in your trespasses, hardened your necks, and made your hearts as an adamant, and refused to return. How dreadful will it be to you to hear him declaring how inexcusable you are upon these accounts? How will you be cut to the heart, when you shall see him approving the sentence of condemnation, which the judge shall pronounce against you, and judging and sentencing you with Christ, as an assessor in judgment? For the saints shall judge the world, 1 Corinthians 6:2, and when you shall see him rejoicing in the execution of justice upon you for all your unprofitableness under his ministry. 3. Consider what a happy opportunity you have in your hands now. Now your case is very different from the case of wicked men in another world, of which you have now heard, and particularly in the following respects. 1. God makes it the duty of all the godly now to be concerned for your salvation. As to those who are damned in hell, the saints in glory are not concerned for their welfare, and have no love nor pity towards them. And if you perish hereafter, it will be an occasion of joy to all the godly. But now God makes it the duty of all the godly to love you with a sincere goodwill and earnest affection. God doth not excuse men from loving you, for your ill qualities though you are wicked and undeserving, yet God makes it the duty of all sincerely to wish well to you. And it is a heinous sin in the sight of God, for any to hate you. He requires all to be concerned for your salvation, and by all means to seek it. It is their duty now to lament your danger, and to pray for mercy to you, that you may be converted and brought home to Christ. Now the godly who know you, desire your salvation, and are ready to seek, and pray for it. If you be now in distress about the condition of your souls, you are not in such a forsaken, helpless condition, as those that are damned. But you may find many to pray for you, many who are willing to assist you by their advice and counsels, and all with a tender concern, and with hearty wishes that your souls may prosper. Now some of you have godly friends who are near and dear to you. You are beloved of those who have a great interest in heaven, and who have power with God by their prayers. You have the blessing of living under the same roof with them. Some of you have godly parents to pray for you, and to counsel and instruct you, who you may be sure will do it with sincere love and concern for you. And there is not only the command of God, God hath not only made it the duty of others to seek your salvation, but hath given encouragement to others to seek it. He gives encouragement that they may obtain help for you by their prayers, and that they may be instrumental of your spiritual good. God reveals it to be his manner, to make our sincere endeavors a mean of each other's good. How different is the case with you from what it is with those that are already damned? And how happy an opportunity have you in your hands, if you would but improve it? 2. Now you live where there is a certain order of men appointed to make it the business of their lives to seek your salvation. Now you have ministers, not to rise up in judgment against you, but in Christ's stead, to beseech you to be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. God hath not only made it the duty of all to wish well to your souls, and occasionally to endeavor to promote your spiritual interests, but he hath set apart certain persons, to make it their whole work, in which they should spend their days and their strength. 3. Christ himself is now seeking your salvation. He seeks it by the forementioned means, by appointing men to make it their business to seek it. He seeks it by them. They are his instruments, and they beseech you in Christ's stead, to be reconciled to God. He seeks it, in commanding your neighbors to seek it. Christ is represented in Scripture, as wooing the souls of sinners. He uses means to persuade them to choose and accept of their own salvation. He often invites them to come to him that they may have life, that they may find rest to their souls. to come and take of the water of life freely. He stands at the door and knocks, and ceases not, though sinners for a long time refuse him. He bears repeated repulses from them, and yet mercifully continues knocking, saying, "Open to me, that I may come in and sup with you, and you with me." At the doors of many sinners he stands thus knocking for many years together. Christ is become a most importunate suitor to sinners, that he may become their sovereign. He is often setting before them the need they have of him, the miserable condition in which they are, and the great provision that is made for the good of their souls. And he invites them to accept of this provision, and promises it shall be theirs upon their mere acceptance. Thus how earnestly did Christ seek the salvation of Jerusalem, and he wept over it when they refused. Luke 19:41, 42. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes." In Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Thus Christ is now seeking your salvation. Such an opportunity have you now in your hands. Consider therefore how many means Christ is using with you, to bring you to salvation. Besides those things which have been now mentioned, some of you have a degree of the inward strivings and influences of the Spirit, which makes your opportunity much greater. You have Christ's internal calls and knockings. All the persons of the Trinity are now seeking your salvation. God the Father hath sent his Son, who hath made way for your salvation, and removed all difficulties, except those which are with your own heart. And he is waiting to be gracious to you. The door of his mercy stands open to you. He hath set a fountain open for you to wash in from sin and uncleanness. Christ is calling, inviting, and wooing you. And the Holy Ghost is striving with you by his internal motions and influences. 4. If you now repent, before it be too late, the saints and angels in glory will rejoice at your repentance. If you repent not till it is too late, they will, as you have heard, rejoice in seeing justice executed upon you. But if you now repent, they will rejoice at your welfare, that you who were lost, are found. That you who were dead, are alive again. They will rejoice that you are come to so happy a state already, and that you are in due time to inherit eternal happiness. Luke 15:3-10. So that if now you will improve your opportunity, there will be a very different occasion of joy in heaven concerning you, than that of which the doctrine speaks. Not a rejoicing on occasion of your misery, but on occasion of your unspeakable blessedness. 5. If you repent before it is too late, you yourselves shall be of that joyful company. They will be so far from rejoicing on occasion of your ruin, that you yourselves will be of that glorious company, who will rejoice in all the works of God, who will have all tears wiped away from their eyes, to whom there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and from whom sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You yourselves will be of those who will rejoice at the glorious display of God's majesty and justice, in his wrath on his enemies. You will be of those that shall sing for joy of heart at the day of judgment, while others mourn for sorrow of heart, and howl for vexation of spirit. And you will enter into the joy of your Lord, and there shall never be any end or abatement of your joy.